Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Columbus, Ohio, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. I invite you to open your heart and mind as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the broadcast today. We're sharing with you on the truth about Christmas. This might be a disturbing message to you, but you need to know the truth. We've seen the fact that Christmas started as a Mass for Christ. It is of Catholic origin. It was started in 313 A.D. when Constantine had the merger of the church with paganism. And the reason they started it was to please the pagans, to draw into the church the pagans while accepting their customs. It was a mixture principle. And this pagan celebration of the birth of the unconquered son was on December 25th. So they appointed December 25th as the birthday of Jesus. December 25th is definitely not the birthday of Jesus, nor is it the time of his conception, as many people have tried to say, to rationalize why it's okay to go along with this. Jesus became as the unconquered son to the pagans. This was never celebrated by the early church during the first 300 years at all. The Bible says nothing about celebrating the birth of Jesus, and the Bible is very explicit about what we remember and what we celebrate. The world celebrates Christmas. It's their biggest holiday, and certainly the followers of Jesus are hated by the world. Why do worldly people celebrate his birth if they hate him and reject him? The truth is because it's not the birthday of Jesus. How do we know that? Mary conceived Jesus in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So from the conception of John the Baptist with Elizabeth, it would be 15 months until the birthday of Jesus. 6 months plus the 9 months of Mary's pregnancy. And we saw from scriptures previously that both Elizabeth and Mary carried their pregnancies out to full term. And we see the reason why we know when it is because Zacharias was a priest and he was carrying out his order of service in the temple during the eighth course. And this happened to be the end of the fourth month, and that would be the end of the fourth month would be in the middle of July. His service was the first 2 weeks of July, roughly, and by the middle of July, he had finished his course. Then it says that he, having heard from that angel that he was going to have a child, he went home, and he was with Elizabeth, and then conceived sometime in the latter part of July, which means that Jesus was conceived in the latter part of January, and then he was born in the latter part of October. And this is important to realize. Also, we know Jesus wasn't born on the December 25th because the shepherds weren't in the field in the rainy season, which is November to February. So Jesus would have been born before that, which would have been at the end of October. It also was not the time of tax. It was not in the rainy season, but in the fall after the harvest. So we reject this. We know it was appointed as the birthday of Jesus. It is not the birthday of Jesus, and we need to know the truth. We also started to talk about the traditions that have followed through false religion. The festival of Bacchus was on the December 25th, considered the Yule Day, when they were worshiping the sun god and the birthday of the sun god. And we see that all the modern day celebration, all the traditions of the tree and the candles and the lights and the mistletoe and all these things, the merry festival, all go back to this time. And this false system was spread throughout the world at Babel, and we went through civilization after civilization where they had these same kind of festivals and worship unto the sun god and their false gods. And so this was very deceptive. There was also the Roman festival of Saturnalia, which was like Bacchus, where there was drunkenness and revelry and sport and luxurious abundance, spending, exchanging of gifts, sexual license, no work, no laws enforced, gambling, houses and buildings lit, decorated with evergreen trees, fir trees, with their treats and their balls and their trinkets and their pig sacrifice to the sun god, which is where the ham tradition comes in. Well, as Catholicism spread, it took these pagan mixture traditions across Europe, and the Protestants, which were the true born-again Christians, rejected paganism and its false observances that were within the Roman Catholic Church. And this is where we are. We're going to continue with some of the historical facts about this birthday, the supposed birthday of Jesus, Christmas, which is not. December 25th is not the day of Jesus' birth. It was the celebration of the birthday of the unconquered sun. It was the worship of the sun god. And we see the fact that in the 16th century, the born-again Christians, they rejected this. And there was great conflict that occurred during this particular time. In Europe, there developed people that would continue in celebration of this. Then there were others who realized that this was false, and there was all kinds of conflict. In Scotland, as revival took hold, the Scots rejected Christ's Mass. It was forbidden in Scotland as early as 1583. The famous Scottish preacher, John Knox, condemned any involvement in Christmas or this Christ Mass. In the Commonwealth of England, it became illegal when the Puritans came to power under Oliver Cromwell. On December 22nd, 1657, Oliver Cromwell's Puritan Council abolished Christmas in England. On December 25th, the Parliament worked. Soldiers made sure the shops remained open, churches were closed, evergreen decorations were prohibited, the Druid paganistic religious practices were forbidden in the English churches. Rioting and great conflict became frequent between the opposing sides. However, in 1660, when Charles II came to power as king, Christmas was restored in England. Now, when the Puritans were in power in England under Oliver Cromwell, the Puritans had come to America and they settled in New England following the same laws. They passed a law barring any Christmas observance or celebration in 1659. They absolutely objected to Christmas because it was of heathen origin, it was paganistic. The people, of course, would carry on these same traditions, become drunken and riotous. The Puritans considered Christmas an abomination and something that was not from the Word of God. It was not in line with the truth. They crossed it off their calendars. The markets were open to stay open. All the church doors were locked on December 25th. In Massachusetts, if Christmas was observed, one was sentenced to work or jail and fined 5 shillings. In 1659, a law was put on the books in Connecticut forbidding both the keeping of Christmas and the making of any of these mince pies, which all went back to the pagan celebrations. At the same time, not all the colonists in America were against the Christmas celebration. The Puritans, the Pilgrims, the Congregationalists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Quakers were all Puritan in spirit, and they had a deep-seated abhorrence or a hatred for Christmas. However, the Church of England, which was strongly influenced by the Roman Catholics, embraced the Christmas celebration. And so these Anglican colonists from the Church of England who came to America, they predominantly settled in Virginia, they continued in the Christmas celebration in defiance of Cromwell's laws. Other settlers that came to America that held fast to the Christmas celebration were from the German Lutherans, the Dutch Reformed Christians, the German Moravians, the Episcopalians, and the Roman Catholics. Besides Virginia, pro-Christmas colonists settled in New York City as well as in the southern colonies. Now, after Charles II came to power, Christmas was restored in England. The Puritans in New England continued to stand against any Christmas observance. In fact, in 1686, there was a Sir Edmund Andros who was sent over by the king to unite New York and New Jersey with the New England colonies. And the governor, as he went to the Episcopal service in Boston on the Christmas day, guarded by the militia, there was great opposition, and Boston revolted and put this guy in prison. There was opposition continuing, and a Puritan mob broke out, and there was absolute havoc going on because there was a Christmas service held there. So here they were trying to establish a church, a state church in the colonies, and this was a fundamental cause of the rebellion against England. The opposition to any Christmas celebration continued in America as long as revival continued. The Great Awakening of 1739, the Great Revival in the early 1800s, kept firm opposition to Christmas. In fact, in 1810, the Philadelphia Democratic Press reported that most of the citizens of Pennsylvania paid no attention to Christmas. But in New York City in the South, Christmas was celebrated. They continued because they had all these people who were holding fast to the pagan traditions, these immigrants that came forth. Now, the first state to declare Christmas a legal holiday was Alabama in 1836. It was not a legal holiday until 1836. From 1845 to 1865, 28 states added as a holiday, and the last state to make Christmas Day a holiday was Oklahoma in 1890, only 107 years ago. In 1885, President Chester Arthur signed the law giving all federal workers Christmas Day off. But resistance has always continued among true Christians. It says December 25th was a common workday in Boston until 1856. And as late as 1870, the classes were still held in the Boston public schools on Christmas Day. 1874, the preeminent Protestant clergyman Henry Ward Beecher declared that Christmas was a foreign day to him. It was an excuse for drunkenness and gluttony and gambling and dancing and sexual promiscuity and mass begging, and it was all identified with paganism. The American Methodist newspaper, The Christian Advocate, in 1886 described Christmas as a day when more sin and paganistic ways occurred than on any other day in the year. But by the end of the 1800s, even New England accepted the observance of Christmas Day. As Christmas took hold nationally, it's become the dominant holiday in America. This is because of compromise and of allowing this mixture principle to come in, and it's the dominant holiday throughout the world. So we've seen that these things are showing that the history of this is that this is absolutely not of the Lord. Now, the specific customs and traditional practices of the present-day Christmas celebration, they also point to paganistic origin. We see the Christmas tree. Our modern-day custom of the decorated Christmas tree came from Germany around the 16th century. That's not the real origin of trees used at the time of the midwinter festival. Here, back in the Babylonian mystery religion days and other civilizations, they would worship their sun god as through various forms, including trees. A tree was believed to be the sun god come to life, having overcome his enemies. And this was like the sun god, the branch of God that would bring divine gifts, and for Baal, that sun god who was going to bring that pardon to the people. In the ancient pagan groups, the tree was decorated and worshipped. In fact, the green tree is associated with idolatry and false worship in the Word of God several times. One scripture that stands out is Jeremiah 10, verse 3 to 5, where it says, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not." Boy, that sounds like the Christmas tree, doesn't it? The tree is cut out of the forest, decked with silver and gold, standing upright. They put it up there with the nail and the hammers. This is the idolatry of the worship of this tree. Custom was vain, that they were participating in idolatry and false worship. The use of trees for worship was common in previous civilizations. In Egypt, they'd worship the palm tree in denoting the pagan messiah, Baal Tamor. In the Roman Saturnalia, it was the fir tree denoting their pagan messiah, Baal Berith. The Teutonic and the Scandinavian peoples worshiped trees for their protection. And these Scandinavian customs of decorating the house and the barn with evergreens were to scare away the devil. The modern Christmas tree originated in Germany. It was in Germany where the Yule tree was first brought inside the house as a modern tradition. In the 8th century, St. Boniface dedicated a fir tree to the Holy Child to replace the sacred oak of the god Odin. This is where they take the symbol of a pagan tree worship of their false gods, and they changed it, dedicating it to be instead to a pagan god, but to the Holy Child. This was being carried on by the Catholic Church, so they decided they're going to change it from a pagan god worship to a Holy Child worship. And this is where this tradition came from. Now, we finished for today. We're running out of time. We do have a book on this subject called The Truth About Christmas. If you'd like to get it, you can send $2 and write me, David Middleton, 23, Morse Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43214. And we're teaching you the truth. Hopefully you'll receive this and understand that this is totally paganistic and idolatry. We'll see you on the next broadcast. God bless you.